today. Good week in the Lord. We thank each and every one of you for being with us today. If you're visiting with us this morning, we ask you to find yourself at home and hope that you'll enjoy yourself. And we'd love to see you come back and continue to visit with us and be a part of what goes on here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. We are in Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter number 3 this morning. We'll continue our studies through the book of Colossians. This morning after service, if we could meet with the group that's going to Tennessee to the winter retreat just for a little bit, just for a few minutes, kind of right down over here would be fine this morning. That would be great. We could meet with you just for a little bit, cover a few things, get a few items ironed out. Well, wasn't a good day for LSU football yesterday. Not at all. You Alabama fans, I hope you enjoyed it. Looks like y'all have 6-7 more years to come of good times. But there'll be a great famine one of these days. Yeah. I hope it stays a brewing. It's going to take a good one to get them. All right. Now, we have going verse by verse through the book of Colossians now up to chapter 3. We're in chapter 3, verses 5, and we'll go down to verse 14 this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 14 this morning. Do me in prayer for the Jones family and loss of their brother and the mother, husband, and of his, be in prayer for the wife and the son of Brother Gerald who passed away and went on, and then, of course, the brothers and family members as well during this loss of their loved one. Verse 5, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye are also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, saying that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. We started last week in chapter number 3, and we learned that in chapter 3 is the everyday practice of the Christian life. In chapters 1 and 2, we learned some biblical truths that would help us, that we might be able to understand how that we are to live according to scriptural principles and precepts. There were some errors, that doctrinal errors that Paul was dealing with, trying to get them to understand that these errors was not right. This is the biblical truth, and these are the things you should follow. And then in chapter 3, he began to introduce to us how do we apply those in everyday lives. Now, great truths do make for great daily living if we put them into action. But let me tell you something. It's not enough just to merely know them in the head or to hide them in our knowledge. We must translate that knowledge into our beliefs and our life system for everyday living. Now, the Colossian church had learned many of these great truths, like For instance, go to first back to chapter 1 in verse 14. They learned that there was redemption through Christ's blood. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Look at verse number 18. They learned the truth that Christ should have and must have preeminence in all things. Verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Look at verse number 28. Verse 28, they learned about the indwelling presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in new believers, to whom we preach, verse number 28, chapter 1, whom we preach, wanting every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And as you learn, they learn these truths, and they begin to follow them and put them into everyday living, applying them to how they live. Paul starts to remind us, as we looked at last week in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, the reason is, it's because of Christ. It's because of what Jesus has done for us. And we reflected upon that one day Jesus is going to appear again. Look at verse 4 of chapter 3. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. And so there's the truths, and here's the reason why we should apply them into our truths. And then Paul begins to deal with some things there in verse number 5. Verse 5, he says, mortify. That word means to put to death quickly. Mortify, to put to death quickly the flesh. Listen, this body has an appetite. This flesh has a desire. It has wants. It has things that it learned before we trusted Christ, our personal Lord and Savior. And after we got saved, it still has those appetites. And Paul says, let's mortify, let's put to death. And he begins to list and name some things. And if you'll notice in the naming of these things, it's all external things that we can see. And those are the things that should go away with in a newborn child of God's life. These are the things that should pass away a little bit quicker than these other things that he deals with. But he deals with them in the very beginning. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon this earth. Not the body, not the flesh, but it's the things that have to do with these actions. And the first one there, he said, of course, is fornication. And that is marital relationships that are joined before marriage. The marriage bed relationships is before marriage. It's different than adultery. Adultery has to do with a man or a woman that's married, and then they step outside the bounds of the marriage and enjoy the relationships of the marriage bed before marriage. Now, it's called fornication. After, it's labeled adultery, and there is a difference. If you wanted to look on your own, I'm not going to go over and show you, but you can write down these verses. Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, Mark chapter 7, verse 21. All of those verses make a distinct difference between. Not only does those verses in the Bible, but you can go to the dictionary and you can look up the two different words, and they are completely different. And Paul says, listen, this may be practically acceptable in this day of Colossians, and we know as well as it today, that some people look upon this as, you know, just try some things out, make sure we're compatible. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is that we wait until we get married, whether it's at an altar or in a justice of peace or you know, at a picnic somewhere underneath a tree where you are declared husband and wife, and then you go and enjoy the marriage bed. You know, even today it's acceptable, it seems, to go around. But Paul says we're to mortify that, we're to put it to death, because that is not God's plan. If you want to avoid fornication, the Bible says, let every man take a wife. Or, you know, a woman take a husband. And so Paul said, let's mortify that. Let's put that to death. And then he says, uncleanliness. Now that is an impurity in thought and speech and dirty-mindedness and an indecency. You know, oh, it sounds like we're talking about exactly the things of the day, isn't it? I mean, this was written over 2,000 years ago, but yet we know that today. Why is that? Because sin is always with us, and it is always there because it is hidden within the wants and desires of the flesh. And so we have to constantly be reminded, even today, some 2,000 years later, let's put to death these things. You know as well as I do, you've probably been sitting around praying or in your prayer closet, or maybe there's a need come up, and before you know it, some thought just pops into your mind that's indecent. It's not right. It's not pure at all. And Paul says, listen, let's mortify that. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we're to bring every thought into captivity, under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there he says, let's mortify these things. Let's get rid of them. Fornication, uncleanness. And then he says there, inordinate affection. Inordinate affection is like a depraved, it's kind of a passion that's uncontrollable lust. That is with evil desires that might be there. So Paul said, listen, these things are not good. They're not something that we should be involved in or should be part of our life as Christians. And so let's put those away from us. And evil speaking, I believe, is the next one there. It says evil covetousness there. That is a wicked craving or sensual desire or lust that's beyond the natural. I'm trying to be very careful here with us. We have kids with us. I think you know what I'm talking about. There are some things that are just beyond the natural way of being there. And Paul says, listen, we need to mortify these things. We need to set these things apart, set these things aside, put them to death daily. Nail them to the cross. Say, Lord, here they are. Get rid of these things that are in our life that should not be there. And then there's the next one there is covetousness. That's just a simple greedy desire to have more. And really it goes beyond that. It is a total disregard of somebody else's rights or their things. You know, if I want it, Brother Paul, I'm coming to get it because I just have that covetous desire that is about me. And then he puts a very strong ending on this. If you look there, he says, let's read again. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil covetousness, and covetousness. And then he says this, which is idolatry. Why is it Paul would put such a strong emphasis on the closing there? Because every one of these things of which I just went through and just dealt with, you said, well, how are they? Because it's putting our desires, our wants, the things that we want above and beyond God. And anything that takes the place of God, doesn't matter if it's job, if it's hobby, if it's a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or the desire for a car or a particular motorcycle, anything that takes so much precedence before God. Because remember the truth, Christ should have preeminence. What causes all of these desires to run rampant in our society today? Christ is not first. Christ is not first place. He doesn't have the preeminence. Why does it spill over inside the house of God? Because Christ does not have preeminence in the house of God anymore. And so we have to, Paul said, listen, which is idolatry. As if all of these things that Paul just named, there was not enough. He put a strong emphasis because the very first of the commandments that we see in the Old Testament are what? It's dealing with God and our relationship with God. And God says it's very important that we keep things in perspective. That's why he says there in verse number 2 of chapter 3, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. These things which I just dealt with are those exterior things. Anybody here that's been saved for any amount of time that was outside of church, listen, I thank God, listen, if you trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior from this age, and you grow up in church, praise God for it. I did not. And I'm going to tell you something. I brought some baggage with me into my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I did some things and had some things and some ideas and some paths that I went down before I trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, dear friend. I know exactly what is going on, but I do know this. that when I trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things pass away and all things become new. And that process began, and I'm telling you, those outward things, it didn't take, listen, I did not have to go to seminary. When the Holy Spirit of God moved in and began to show me, this ain't right. Hey, that's wrong. You're going down a path that's not reflective of Christ. And these are the things that got put away quickly. To be honest with you, when I'd say to somebody that I am a child of God, I can't do this anymore, I can't do that because I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Not that I can't. There's no law that says I can't. No, I'm not going to go to jail for doing these things. They're not against public law, but they're not within the testimony of a child of God. And the Holy Spirit of God began to show me, you can't do that, you can't do that. And it began to go away. And that's what Paul deals with here. Look at verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Before I got saved, I told you all this before. I've given you my testimony in a small portion before. Before I got saved, it was nothing that hindered me from acting or spending time with some of my friends, and we would get together after work and you know, sit around and play cards or spades or something like that, and maybe watch a car here or there, play some music there, and then, you know, lo and behold, somebody would run by and the classics, and you know, out came the liquor. And it was nothing, Brother Chris, just what I did. It was just part of my life, you know, and I did it. But I trusted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and I began to live a little different. I began to put priorities and get things in order and said, you know, I want to be pleasing to the Lord. But one time, my wife and I were not having what you'd call speaking terms. It just wasn't. It was going, matter of fact, it was going pretty bad with Paul. I mean, it was going. And my wife went to my pastor, talked to my pastor, and my pastor said, listen, your husband needs to have his self woke up. That's the saying right now. I saw the other day. Y'all woke? These kids use that. How do y'all use it, Victor? Tell me. We need to be woke. Is that good? I'm on track. I got to connect with these guys. You know, we're woke. I hope y'all woke. It's not good English, but it's working. I know that. It's working. He needs to be woken up and need to be awakened. He needs to be brought to his attention that what he's doing is not right. And lo and behold, I had a good understanding that when I got paid, there was a 10% of my income that belonged to God. And I just started right off the bat, Brother Jim. Matter of fact, even before I got saved, that's an amazing thing. You know, and so one of my buddies came by and said, where's your wife? Well, she's over in Mississippi with her mom trying to wake me up. I remember the Braves were playing. So we went down to the local sports club down there, and I was sitting around there, and I didn't have any funds on me, Brother Douglas, none, except what belonged to God. Brother Jim, I took it off the top of the refrigerator, and I took it with me. And I'm going to tell you, I've been in that same situation time and time and time again, and it never happened like this before. As soon as I bought that first drink with the Lord's tithe, a fight broke out behind me, and I was cut with a knife. I was not involved in it. What happened? Now I'm a child of God, and God said these things. What is these things? The wrath of God. Listen to what it says. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now I'm a child of God. Now I'm living in disobedience. And the Bible says in Hebrews that God chastened those whom he loved. You say, well, I don't get the connection. Well, I got it clearly. I did. Maybe the connection wasn't for you, because God works in different ways with different people. But he, as soon as it happened, I'm going to tell you, Brother Ray, I didn't think one time, where's the ambulance? Brother Chris, I did not think one time, well, who did it? Let me get involved in this and let me cut them back. You know what I thought? God, I am sorry. Because the Holy Spirit of God had already been fooling with me. convicted me about what I was fixing to do, which was his already. Begin to deal with him, Brother Bill, before it happened. So all these things begin to go off right there. And Paul deals with them. This is everyday Christian life. Listen, when God saves us, listen, he doesn't expect us to be perfect. He knows that we are sinners and we walk around in a body of flesh and we have opportunity to be involved in things that are not right. And I got, he understands that. This is the amazing truth about salvation. God knows you before you got saved, and he knows who you're going to be after you got saved, and he still died on the cross so you can have eternal life. That's amazing. That is an amazing truth right there, dear friend. That the love of God, knowing the beginning and the end, he knew that when I go to the cross of Calvary, there's still going to be people that fool around in fornication. There's still going to be people that fool around in adultery. There's still people going to be fooling around with unnatural affection and involved in things that they should not be. Yet I died for them while they were yet sinners. That's a wonderful truth. That is an amazing truth. And it gets more amazing as you go through your Christian life. As you go through and you begin to be involved in your relationship with the Lord God and you begin to spend time with him, and you fall into sin after being saved for a little while, and the love of God is still as true. That's amazing. The truth of the love of God is amazing. That's why you look there, we finish in verse 14. Look at verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity. What is charity? That's God's love. That is God's love. And look what it says. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Wow, that's an amazing thing, dear friend. But Paul says, more, which these things say. What that tells me is that, listen, before I got saved, God had a remedy for sin. After I got saved, God had a remedy for sin. The remedy is Jesus Christ. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Even after we've trusted Christ, our personal Lord and Savior. The answer has always been Jesus, will always be Jesus. And Christ must have preeminence. Look at verse 7. In the which ye also walked, remember, sometime, when ye lived in them. Lived in what? In those things above. But what happened now? Galatians 2:20. Look over in Galatians. Hold your place there and look in Galatians 2:20. Yeah, I walked and I lived in these and I acted in these and I was involved in these things. But now, because I'm a child of God, there's a difference. Galatians chapter 2:20. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There's the amazing part right there. It keeps going. It keeps building upon each other. These verses in context show us a great truth. For which time, verse 6, things that the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometimes when you lived in them. There's a difference that you did when you walked in them. But we should mortify them. We should start putting those things to death, putting them away from us. And then it begins to get down to where everyday Christianity lives. There's sometimes some people get involved in fornication and stuff of that nature publicly and openly. But that's not where we all live. Where we all live is in the next verses. This is where we are in verse 8. But now, ye also put off all these. So this is what we do. I am not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. My refrigerator is pretty clean from that. This is where we are. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, anger is no different in the eyes of God than fornication. No different. noted, and Paul says here, but now, ye also put all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Remember the thought. Practical, everyday Christianity. You know why it was easy to put off those other things? Because it meant the flesh. I got embarrassed. Flesh speaking. You know, my pastor would show up, I'd try to hide things. Why am I doing that? He's not my father. If I see the pastor coming and I had something in my buggy. And I didn't figure it out. Why was that? It dawned on me. It's not Pastor, it's the Holy Spirit of God living in me. Listen, it's not the... Listen, there is enough light in the Word of God to show us how we should act. The outward problem, the outward goes away quick. I've been saved now a long time now. Since 1991 to now. I don't know the math. What is the math now? 27? I surrendered to preach in December of 1992. I preached my first message in 93. Though it was small and it was a little bit better than today, but... I've been saved a long time, but here's the thing. Just Mary, I can still have a problem with anger. I still have a problem with wrath. I still have a problem, dear friend, with malice. What is malice? Here, look at it. I looked this up. Malice. Here. Vicious disposition, depraved spite, willful desire to injure, cruel malignity, which rejoices in evil to others. Wow, that's pretty long. I know that was the dictionary's definition. Here's mine. Malice harbors old grudges and dwells on them. Mine. Yes. I'm looking around here. I ain't seeing no inordinate affection. But I'm telling you, every now and then, it shows up in your attitude, that malice. Well, Pastor, you don't know. It 16 years ago, she did this to me. She wore the same shoes to prom that I had on. Really? And we hold that malice, wrath, anger. Let's look at another one here. Let's find another one. Blasphemy, you know, that is where we take the things of God and we speak ill of the things of God. And let me tell you something, when we speak ill of things of God, dear friend, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you. Why? Because that's the things of God, and He is the author of those things. The Spirit of God moved upon men of old to write these things down. We call them scoffers, and the Bible calls them scoffers of the things of God. Let's find another one here. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Ooh. Why should I put that off? Because it stains public testimony for Christ. That's why. But we call it Christian, it's acceptable. So what if I say it's not, as they put it, one guy put it, it's not a $5 cuss word. What do we put value on? Now, I'm going to tell you, there's been some times, Brother Dyer, that I probably in the flesh would have paid somebody to come cuss some members out. God forgive me. But that's better than what Amos did. Better than what Ezra did. Ezra, he pulled the hair out. My pastor got a hold of it. That's in the Bible.
The man of God pulled people's hair out.
Really, he did. Another man of God pulled his own hair out. Yes, go read it in the Old Testament. It's there, I promise you. So there's been times in the flesh, carnally, that I said, man, if I could find me somebody on the street that's begging for money, I'd say, I'll give you some money. But first thing you got to do, I'll give you $20. You go over to Brother Ray and you get on it really good. But don't tell him I said it. Listen, it stains your testimony. No, Pastor, that ain't true. Okay, here's an example. Brother Bernie, where are you at? You sit back there. Brother Barney used to work at the funeral home. He's retired now. Almost completely done. I have somebody passed away, and I need to go see Brother Barney. Brother Barney, you know, you're on call. Brother Barney, I need to get some arrangements made, and I need to know the cost and things of that nature. And Brother Barney rips off about five or six foul words. It might catch me off guard at first. And then I said, well, what about this casket? He calls it all kind of names. You don't expect to hear no funeral director drive up to the drive-thru, put your money in the you check in the thing, and the lady McCoy comes on. What? And blankly, blank, blank, do you want today? What? You don't expect it, do you? Matter of fact, you'd probably go to another funeral home, wouldn't you? You'd probably go to another bank, wouldn't you? As much as I hate going to Walmart, dear friend. If Publix workers started cussing at me while I'm standing there trying to pay, I'd go to Walmart and I'd check myself out. Why? Because we don't expect it from them, do we? And neither does the world expect it from God's children. That's why he says, put it. But now. That was the hardest thing in the world. What, you guys have spent any time in the military. You know what I'm talking about. Brother Chris, tell me. It was just like, we had a whole vocabulary, 52 adjectives. Yes. Look at me, please, for a moment. I am around folks that are not always church people. Y'all think that I'm the pastor. I'm always around God's little sheep. I am not. But I'm telling you, dear friend, this is the other spectrum. If somebody does, Brother Paul, start speaking like that, you can't get all, I'm a child of God, and you can't talk like, oh Lord, I gotta go get desanctified, sanctified. You unsanctified. No! You don't have to get all crazy and weird. This is talking about you and I. And in other words, if they start theirs, you don't have to join in to make them feel good either. Alright, let's move on quickly. I've got to get you out of here. All right, there, let's move that one along. Okay, fill the communication out of your mouth. Oh, verse 9. Remember the thought. But now, let's put all these off. Lie not one to another. Wow. I don't know where we come across this here idea, man and man, but somebody said there's some white lies, and there's some gray lies, and there's some black lies. No, lie not one to another. Be truthful, be honest. Don't be telling no lies. Well, I just didn't know. Just say the truth.
It's a poor testimony when you lie to somebody, because we are to reflect Christ, and Christ is truth. Truth. Lie not one to another.
All right, let's go. Please stay there long.
Put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created you. So you put off these things. But it's not enough just to put them off. It's not enough just to stop lying. It's not enough just to stop, speaking evil, malice, putting away anger and putting away wrath. It's not enough just to put things off. Paul says in the Christian life, we need to put on things. The new man who grows in the image of Christ. Are we not predestined by the will of God to be conformed to the image of Christ? So we put on Christ every day. We put off daily. This is a daily thing that we put off, we put on, put off, put on. Are we not the children of light? We are the children of light. If we're therefore the children of light, why do we put on things of darkness? Anger, wrath, malice, evil communication. Put on things that reflect Christ, that brings out the light in us. Like what? Well, let's see what he says. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, verse 12, holy. Well, why should I be ye holy? For I am holy. Why? Holiness reflects the integrity of God. That's why you should put on holy. Be holy. What is it? Mercy and kindness. Why should we put on mercy and kindness, dear friend? Because it demonstrates the grace of God. We should deal merciful with one another. When we deal merciful with each other, Brother Lee, it reflects the grace of God, which we don't deserve. How has God dealt with us? With mercy and with kindness. What else he says? Bowels of mercy, kindness. Humbleness of mind. Boy, we put on humbleness of mind. Wasn't Christ humble? When we're humble, does that make us Christ-like as a child of God, as a Christian? That terminology says Christ-like or little Christ? So we put on humbleness of mind. Long-suffering. Wow. Would be okay to be patient with each other, right? I've never in my life, dear friends, seen Christian folks that are so impatient with each other. As soon as we get victory over one area of our life, we expect everybody to have their ducks lined up in order like we got our ducks lined up in. Well, dear friend, your ducks didn't get lined up overnight. It took a while for God to work on you in that area. And by the way, God might be working on you in this area and working on me in this area. Let the Holy Spirit of God do His work. I'm going to make my wife a better woman. Really? Why don't you make yourself a better man? I'm not going to make her. That's caveman thinking. That's not biblical thinking. You let Jesus change you into the person that Jesus wants you to be, dear friend. And I guarantee it rubs off. Why do you know that? Because Proverbs said, iron sharpeneth iron. Let's move on real quick. I'm going to get you out of here quickly, I promise. Where did we let off? Which one was that? Lie not, we've done that. Circumcision, blood, humbleness, meekness. Meekness. No, why is meekness? See, people think, when you think about meekness, oh, he's kind of weak. No, let me tell you something. Meekness will help you to overcome your pride and your arrogancy. I mean, it's a strength. That it's an inner strength given to us only by God. And I'm going to tell you something. We lift ourselves up way too high. We walk around way, we're thinking too highly of ourselves, too often. That's an arrogance. I'm telling you, you walk around with meekness and understanding. I am what I am only by the grace of God. Meekness. Long suffering.
forbearing one another. Wow. Well, that breaks down all kind of barriers, don't it? We're not long-suffering with each other. We're not forbearing. These are biblical terms, dear friend. These are things that we are to put on. Paul says, put these off in the upper verses. Now he's telling us, put these things on. This is everyday Christian life. All of these qualities enable us to bring others, dear friend, to Christ. When we're meek, we're lowly, we're humble, we're long-suffering, we're forbearing one to another. All of these help us to bring people to Christ. Verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. I would challenge you, dear friend, to please go read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Read it, study it, look at it. See if your love, the love that you're walking with on an everyday basis, the thing that you walk around on every day in your life, is it lining up with 1 Corinthians 13? Because God's love is unconditional. God's love is perfect love. And it casts out all fear. God's love covers a multitude of sin. It does not condone a multitude of sin. It covers a multitude. In Christ, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens. It covers a whole bunch of this love. Listen, when we put on the love and charity, which is talking about here, dear friend, it reveals a close walk to a loving God. It reveals it to others. But dear friend, the love of charity that I'm speaking of right now, it holds families together. The love and the charity that I'm talking about right here in verse number 14, dear friend, it's a love that produces unity among brethren. Well, how do you know? Because I know that I passed from death and life because I love the brethren. I can't get along with them. What do you mean? You're part of the family if you're saved. I don't like that one. What happened to the characteristics of I know I passed from death and life because I love the brethren? If we love things, listen, dear friend, if we love things above, what does verse 2 say in verse chapter 3? Verse 2 says your what? Affection on things above. Dear friend, if we love things above, if we love the things of God, all the things of God, I'm not talking about the stars and the moon. I'm talking about God. If you love God, set your affection on things above, dear friend, it is virtually impossible not to love those around you. And I'm just being honest with you, friend. Without loving God in a godly way, it is virtually impossible to love people the way God loves them. First and greatest commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Second, love thy neighbor as thyself. Listen, do we need to put off or to put on? Brother Jim, let's come. Let's stand to our feet. That first portion we went through pretty fast. What page, Brother Jim? 410, church. But now these, the anger, the wrath, the malice, all that. Dear friend, I'll tell you, we have to deal with these things. Need to be nailed to the cross daily. Nailed to the cross daily.